Hey, John, I'm not sure if Alan told you he's been a little under the weather today. So we'll see how this goes. Alan, how you feeling?
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello,
yes,
John.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Excellent. Quiet off season, and yet we have another day where we're going to find lots to talk about. And
well, we're trying to find it.
What?
Jazz. So
yeah, and it's our top five of the week again. So, and we're going to go with power forwards tonight. So let's kick it off. Where do you want to start?
Let's just do this one at a time. My number one, I'll go first.
Oh, we're starting with the top five.
For next first is going to be Anthony Davis.
There is no argument for me on number one there. Anthony Davis is my number one. I would have to agree with that. Devin?
Anyone who wants to argue that is being foolish.
There you have it, folks. You're being foolish. Don't argue with us.
I concur.
Number two. I can think of one that comes to mind. I'm trying to decide if he would be number two or if he's going to be further down in my top five. Joakim Noah, I think, has to fit somewhere in the top five.
Isn't he a center, though?
He's a center,
Is
Alan.
He a center?
He's a center.
He plays both sometimes, doesn't
no,
he?
No, he's a center.
What
no,
about when...
he's a center because I have the other bull power forward is on my power forward top five.
Who's the other bull power forward?
Senior Pau Gasol.
But Gasol's a center.
No, you're thinking of Mark Gasol.
No, Pau Gasol's a center.
No, Pau Gasol's a power forward. Joakim Noah's a center.
Here we go, because I suppose we're going to have Tim Duncan on this list, too.
This took all of, like, 3 minutes for the podcast to fall apart.
Now, we don't talk about this in advance so we can surprise each other, but...
there's nothing wrong with that.
I've got one, okay? I've got one. This is a power forward. We're not going to hear any arguments. Number two, Mr. Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin is my number two.
Fine. I'll go with Blake Griffin at number two. I can agree
Yay,
with that.
Yay, peer pressure.
That is not peer pressure. I'm just agreeing because, well, it's Blake Griffin.
I'll just agree because I've been browbeaten into it.
Okay. Next, number three.
Number three, I am going to go with LaMarcus Aldridge.
Wow, he didn't go with Tim Duncan.
No. I think LaMarcus is going to have a better number season than Tim.
Okay. Why?
Well, LaMarcus is going to be the future for San Antonio. Duncan, this is probably his last year. He's 39, and LaMarcus turns 30 this year. So he's going to be the focus, him and Kawhi. This is really going to be a transition season. It's going to be a transition season where they still like have 57 wins, but it's going to be a season where LaMarcus and Kawhi are going to be able to show off more, and Tim is going to be an elder statesman supporter. But Tim has not had a co-star like LaMarcus next to him in the front court like this for years. Who's the last like really good power forward or center that's played next to Tim Duncan?
Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson. But
I don't think
there been an easier one.
I don't think the Spurs have had one since then.
He had great chemistry with guys like Thiago Splitter, but I mean, now he's going to get LaMarcus.
No, wait. I know of one.
Who's that?
Oh my word. Wallace. Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's the one of most recent memory that I could possibly even think of right now that would be the last one he's played with.
Yeah, he was a really good one, but LaMarcus is I really think this is LaMarcus's year to shine in this new team, new offense. I think Pop's going to use him really well. I mean, he's a 23-10 guy in Portland. I know Locke doesn't like him for like efficiency and his pack stat that he created, but I just think the magic of San Antonio is going to wash off on LaMarcus.
Yeah, I actually like LaMarcus. I will say this. He's one of those guys, though, and I'm trying to remember who said this, but he's one of the very few guys that lives and dies and breathes the mid-range shot. That just doesn't exist as much in the NBA anymore. And that's his go-to shot.
Mm-hmm.
About that 15 to 18-footer. What was the last power forward we remember that seemed to like to hit those 15 to 18-footers?
Pau Gasol?
Yes. And before, I'm still going to argue he's a center. But anyway, because look at the world championships, people.
Okay, let me remind you, though, when the Lakers won 2 rings with Powell, who was their center?
I agree.
Andrew Bynum was the center then.
There you go.
Yes, I'm not going to disagree with that. But what did Powell play in the world championships?
Basketball.
That's
European
not what I mean.
Rules.
European rules. So I suppose then you're going to put on this list Dirk Nowitzki too.
Would you put him on this list?
Is he a power forward?
Yes.
Is he in your top 5?
No.
No.
Okay. I wanted to check. I don't know that I'd have him in my top 5 either.
Okay. So my top 3 are Davis, Griffin, and LaMarcus. What are your top 3? And Joakim Noah is the center.
Devin?
I agree with John. Those are my top 3.
I would agree with the top 2. I would almost say that 3 can be interchangeable because I think you have a couple of guys that are from about... I think that the power forward position, based on our conversation here, 1 and 2... and then 3 through 6, roughly, can be interchangeable amongst a lot of the guys that are in the league.
Mm.
Because, I mean, what about... I just had his name on it. What about Zach Randolph?
Zach is number... I don't know if he's in my top 5.
He's not in mine. He'd be, like, number 6.
All I'm saying is the power forward position to me. If you had a choice, LaMarcus Aldridge or Z-Bo, I mean, you'd probably take LaMarcus Aldridge. But
I'd take LaMarcus.
How close would that be,
younger.
Though? How close would that be, though?
It would be pretty easy for me.
Okay.
I mean, Zach's been great. Zach has had Marc Gasol next to him. And, well, okay, Zach went to Memphis. It's a great culture for him. He has great teammates.
Right.
Top 5 power forward last year. I just don't have him remaining that way this year. My 4th would be Pau Gasol. He's been rejuvenated in Chicago, and I think the FIBA play has been great for him as well. So he's going to come back and ready to have fun. And I mean, last year he was, what was he? He was 18.5 points a game, 11.8 rebounds a game. I mean, he seemed to like recapture his love for the game once he went to Chicago. And now he's going to have a different coach, one who's probably going to play minutes better for the people, for his players. And I just think he's going to...
Okay. I have a couple of people that it still could possibly round out my list as well. What about, and these are interchangeable, what about Ibaka? Ibaka could be on my top five list just because of what he brings. Maybe not great offensively, but he's another guy. You forgot about him, didn't you?
I did. I totally did.
I didn't.
Is he in your top five, Devin?
No, he's not. I'll tell you who's in my top five.
Oh. Yeah, he's not in my top five, though. Go ahead.
I'd put Powell probably at number four. Mm-hmm. I would probably put Kevin Love at five.
Okay, there's another one, Kevin Love. We haven't even brought his name up yet.
I would put Millsap at six.
Okay.
I would put Zebo at seven. And then I would probably go to Dirk in my top 10 still, and maybe Ibaka at nine.
Are you counting Tim Duncan as a center this year?
No, I'm not, because he's going to be playing alongside LaMarcus. I am considering him a center. I'm not considering him a power forward this year.
And that's the next step I would make. If we're going to put Tim Duncan on this list, I'm not sure that we can have both Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge on this list. It's got to be one or the other. In this case, we're going LaMarcus. Tim Duncan's got to wait till next week.
Okay, but NBA 2K16 has LaMarcus and Tim Duncan as power forwards.
Well, and people will argue that Tim Duncan's one of the greatest power forwards ever to play the game, and I still will disagree with that entirely.
Well, I don't want to get too far into it, but NBA 2K also rated Rudy Gobert, what, like a 78? So, I mean, really, do they know what they're talking about?
And they rated Melo in the top five. There is your argument for why NBA 2K10, 2K whatever the crap it is, 2K, doesn't matter. That's why they're null and void. They put Melo in their top five. People, that's a farce.
Well, it's not because it's a video game and he puts up great numbers.
It's because it's a video game and you're not expected to pass. That's what it is.
Exactly.
I don't care what it is.
I have no problem with a video game saying Melo's the third best small forward because he's a stats guy. He's a stats patter.
By your argument.
He's number three in a video game.
I'm just saying, by your argument, you just threw Tim Duncan as a power forward out the door as well. It's a video game.
I threw him out the door.
I'm just saying.
Timmy has
Tim
left
Duncan
the building.
Out the door.
No, sorry.
Okay, well, Basketball Reference had him as a power forward last year. What am I to do with this?
And so continues the debate. I'm just... And in the meantime, Shaquille O'Neal still says Karl Malone is on his top five all time. And Tim Duncan is not. There you go, people. Just saying.
Shaq said that. That's interesting.
Yes, he did. I don't know if you saw that tweet, but Shaq came out and said...
No, I mean, Timmy has five rings. That's impressive that he would say that.
Yes, very impressive. And he didn't include himself on that top five, by the way. So, anyway.
Okay.
So, no, and... The way that Dirk has played the last couple of years, I'd be willing to almost put Dirk in my top five. I would agree with the top two. LaMarcus Aldridge, I can't find any reason to not have him at three. But then after that, if you're going to put Pau Gasol in the top five, I almost think Dirk deserves to be there, because I think Dirk still plays at a high level and plays just as well as I think Pau has played. Sorry, but I've never been much of a Pau fan either, so that there's my disclaimer on that.
Well, okay, Pau gets like twice as many rebounds as Dirk. He scored more than Dirk last year. And Dirk's aging himself. I mean, Dirk's going to turn 37 this year. He's actually, I think he's like 2 years older than Pau.
Let's play the worst
and
off.
Dirk's great, and Dirk's going to be fun to watch, but... I easily think Powell's going to have a better season this year than Dirk will.
Let's play the worse off, better off. Which team is worse off without their player? Which team is better off without their player?
Dallas is probably going to miss the playoffs anyway.
But how worse are they without Dirk? And how well can Chicago get along without Powell?
Well, with Dirk, they're a lottery team. Without Dirk, they're a dumpster fire.
You can't really do that, because if we did the same thing...
They also have one of the best shooting guards in the game, which is why they're going to be...
Yes. And that's why Butler is on number two on our shooting guard list a couple weeks back.
Right. And you can't do that when you've got, like, Kawhi Leonard, because if you want to use that logic, then Carmelo Anthony is better than Leonard, because without Melo, New York, I don't even want to call them a dumpster fire. I don't know what they are.
And with that, folks, Alan, the Jedi, is now a dumpster fire on this podcast.
Welcome to the Devin and Germ Show.
Welcome to another edition of Dumpster Fire and Germs on the Jazz. How are you, Dumpster Fire?
Oh, fantastic. No, okay, so back to the subject at hand. I actually would put Ibaka in my top five as well, because I think Ibaka brings a lot to the table. I mean, he's become a better scorer, but he is still undeniably a defensive force at the power forward position. And for that reason alone, too, I would put him in my top five, because if I wanted a defensive stopper at the four, he and Davis would be my two first choices every day.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I had Ibaka. I said nine. I changed my mind.
Where is he?
He's at 10.
Oh!
I want to put Derek Favors at number nine, because Derek has a consistent good game going with the Jazz. It's nothing flashy. It's nothing that's going to get him all the attention. I don't even know if he'll get an all-star game. But the guy almost puts up 20-10 numbers night in and night out.
John?
You know, I mean, really, I have Favors on par with Kevin Love.
I can't disagree with that.
Well, you look at their per 36 minutes. Derek Favors is actually ahead of Love on scoring. Love's a little better on rebounding. Favors is a much better blocker. He's a better defender than Kevin Love. You know, Love can shoot from outside, so he has that going for him. And I don't have Love in my top five, but I do have him in my top 10, and I have Favors in my top 10. I'm not exactly sure what the order would be, but okay. Let's do this though. What's your top five locks? Your top five, and then we'll go into the 6 through 10.
Well, Davis, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. My top five would include Ibaka, and then fine, I'll give you Pau Gasol. Did you hear me that time?
Okay. I heard you that time. Mine would be Davis, Aldridge, LaMarcus, Pau Gasol, and as long as he's healthy, Chris Bosh.
That was only four, because you said LaMarcus and Aldridge is two different positions.
Oh, I did?
Yes. You said
Griffin.
Yeah, there you go.
I meant Griffin is my number two.
There you go.
Davis, Griffin, LaMarcus, Pau Gasol, Chris Bosh.
Oh, I can't believe we forgot Chris Bosh.
It's because I think of him as a center still.
Yeah.
Because last year he was a power forward.
They have Hassan Whiteside now, though.
Right, right. But I'm still thinking about the last time we saw Chris really play was back when LeBron was down in South Beach. And so I'm used to thinking of him as a center. So now you just messed everything up, John.
So there's John's top five. That's mine. Devin, your top five.
Oh, now I have to change it. Davis, Griffin, Aldridge. I'm going to go Pau, and then I'm going to go Bosh, because I don't know what Bosh is going to do this season coming back from his medical stuff.
Okay, so
all right, so me and Devin are the same.
So there's our top five, but I have another name to throw into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
We have not mentioned in any of our top 10 at all, and maybe he's borderline top five, Paul Millsap.
I mentioned him.
Yeah, he's in my 6 through 10.
6 through 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is he borderline, like, I mean, would you put him at 6, like right there near the top 5?
I don't know if I want to do my 6 through 10 in order. I would just say my next 5 are Millsap, Favors, Love, Randolph, Dirk, and Ibaka.
That's 6.
Did I say 6?
That's right. That's right. You know, there's another...
Favors, Love, Millsap, Dirk, and Ibaka. Oh, and I had Zach in there.
Yes, you did.
I did. So, gosh, who do I bump out then?
I'd keep with that. I'd bump Ibaka. But yeah. That's me.
There's also another one you could include somewhere. Maybe he's top 15 then. Amir Johnson in Toronto. Where does he sit? Top 15?
Yeah, sure. Is he still in Toronto? Didn't he change teams?
Maybe he did. Did he end up in...
I feel like he changed teams.
Yeah, crap. Now I can't remember.
He is with the Celtics, I believe.
Oh, yes. There we go.
He's playing with David Lee. Which will be interesting to see how they do that.
Very.
So they're going to play... Are they going to play... How are they going to do that? Are they just going to be a bench guy? Or are they going to have... Amir be the center? I don't even know. I gotta pull up Boston's roster here.
You know who else we brought up last week that we said we'd put off to this week? Ilyasova, top 15.
Maybe.
I don't know. We've reached out to top 15. I mean, I think we've thrown out enough names.
You know what's
telling
about Ilyasova is. What was telling to me about Ilyasova was when he was a free agent a year or two ago, he didn't get any real credible offers.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking at their roster, I'm going to guess they start Johnson and then they have Tyler Zeller and Jared Solinger come off the bench.
There you go.
Talking about Boston here.
You know who could have been on this list if he had decided to continue playing basketball?
Karl Malone?
No.
I think he could still be on this list.
Yes, probably. At 50. Why not? No. What's his name that played in Milwaukee that decided to leave basketball after only 2 years in the NBA?
Larry Sanders?
Yeah. Could have been. This is a could have been. Guy had a lot of potential to him.
Such a non-factor.
I agree. His rookie year, he was a factor. He was a rebounding and blocking machine, but then he just disappeared, and then look what he did.
He was great until he lost his heart. Then he suddenly became Keon Clark, and it's just like he just lost his love for basketball.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, love that's lost on players. Oh, well, so be it. So, All right, that's our top 5 and our top 10. We would love to hear thoughts from people. So, and well you know, I would imagine there's a few listeners out there. I know of a couple for sure who will probably be right on top of this to let us know who their thoughts are on top power forwards and where they fit. So,
isn't it kind of funny to think just a few years back where Carlos Boozer would have been on this list?
Right?
Yeah.
And one! Oh, sorry. I just... totally had to get an itch out there. No, right? He would have been in this conversation, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. He before was an all-star 6 years ago.
Before he tripped over that duffel bag.
Yeah.
And spray-painted his hair?
His career was never the same.
The spray paint did him in. I'm just saying the black spray paint on the head did him in.
About
here's a few names. You know, we mentioned Boozer, but think about like David West, Ryan Anderson. Markieff Morris had a pretty decent season in Phoenix last year. He was 10th in the league among power forwards in scoring. You think about Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, talk about a guy who fell off.
You know what I mean? A guy who completely fell.
How far hath he fallen?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? Back to David West, though, for a minute. A few years ago, I would have put him in the top 10 as a power forward. I wouldn't put him there now, but a few years ago, especially when he played with Chris Paul, that New Orleans team, they were a good ball team, and he was a good power forward during those days. Not a great defender. In fact, he's a horrible defender, but the guy could score with the best of
them.
Oh,
that's not fair.
Yes, it is. No,
look at the Pacers. Pacers was one of the best defensive teams every year he was there.
That's what happens when you play next to a seven-footer.
But it's not like he's Jimmer Fredette. I mean, David West held his own in Indiana.
Yeah. My argument for him is the same argument I made for Pau Gasol. David West was a horrible defender in New Orleans, just like Pau Gasol was a horrible defender in Memphis. He was horrible. But they put him next to Andrew Bynum. They put David West in a system, and suddenly the two of them flourish and turn around and are at least comparable with a slightly above average defensively. That's all I'm going to say. I can't give to either one of them too much credit because I've never considered either one of them like a marquee defender or even close.
No, I wouldn't put him as a marquee defender, but I wouldn't shortchange him. And now he's like the third best power forward on the Spurs.
Second best.
All right, second best if Tim Duncan's the center.
Hey, let me ask you guys this. I got another name.
And I am counting him as a center for our argument. Otherwise, I'd have to try to figure out where Tim Duncan is in my top 10.
Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, tell me what you think. Mason Plumlee was in Brooklyn last year, now has gone to Portland, will be playing alongside Lillard. You think he's ready for a breakout season? I'm not saying he'd be a top 10 guy, but I think he could make a little bit more of a name for himself this year.
Yeah, he's set up nicely. I mean, he's...
The silence was deathly.
Man, now I know how Alan feels.
Did it cut out or something? Because no. I started talking.
No, you did start talking. I'm just laughing because before you started talking, there was just this long, drawn-out silence. It was perfect.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
I mean, Plumlee is set up to have a breakout year. He's got the perfect situation now. So if he can't take advantage of this, then he's just never going to happen.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. I think Favors is due a breakout year. Favors has been marginally getting better every year. I'm waiting for a year where he just goes off.
He's going to have a marginal improvement, and that's going to make him an 18-9 player. Which 16-8 last year. He'll be 18-9 this year. He'll be a borderline all-star.
All right. You don't think he explodes anytime soon?
No, I think he's been a slow but steady improver every year.
Okay.
And I think he'll do it again. And 18-9 is great.
Seems to me that the Jazz, and I think we're all okay with this, the Jazz have a group of players that are all like that. They're not breakout. They're not explosion. They get marginally better every year. They just improve. They improve on the basics. They improve on basketball smarts and skills, and they mature, and they're getting better year by year as a group. Are we in agreement with that?
Well, Rudy's going to look like he's having a breakout year because numbers this year are going to look that much better compared to last year's full season.
Yeah.
But, you know, he really kind of made everyone take notice after the All-Star break, and now he's going to have a full year of getting that recognition.
Yes, he is. And he's going to have Rubio sitting in the back of his mind the whole year.
Well, I think this is a perfect transition because, John, I believe you wanted to talk about where the Jazz are going to be in 3 years.
Yes. ESPN Insider had an article. They do it every year where they think where a franchise is going to be in 3 years. And Jazz have usually fared well, but they kind of dipped when they didn't feel like their assets were paying off. But this year, they've gone up. And so now overall, they ranked Jazz as the eighth best team in 3 years. So I'll go in order leading up to that. You have the Warriors at one, Spurs at two, Cavs at three, Bulls at four, Rockets at five, Heat at six, Clippers at seven, and then Jazz are right there at eight.
I can already name two teams I completely disagree with on that list.
Disagree with in 3 years?
Yes.
Who do you think is ranked too high?
The Spurs.
Really?
I don't know, man. They're rebuilding right now. Leonard and
I just
and LaMarcus?
We don't know what the drop-off is going to be like when Duncan retires, when Manu walks away from the game, and you've got an
Manu
agent.
Manu is barely a factor this year, though. And they talked him into coming out of retirement. They would have been just fine if Manu had said, nah, I'm retiring.
But you have an aging point guard in Tony Parker and no future point guard in near future. I think it's guesswork right now. I don't think they are going to be that high yet.
It's guesswork. They're talking about 3 years from now.
I know. I don't, based on everything I see right now and based on who they lose and everything like that. No, I don't. I think they're too high. The other team that I think might be too high on that list is Miami.
Yeah, but Miami just kind of has magic happen every once in a while. I mean, Justice Winslow fell into their lap. Hassan Whiteside just took some magic elixir and is just this great, weird, freaky player now.
Yeah, but I mean, you take away Bosch and you take away Wade, and that team is a lottery team every year with good players that are putting up good numbers and probably aren't in the talk of playoffs. You don't agree with me?
I understand the rationale on why they're going to keep Miami so high, because they go off of they have five critiques. They have players, how good they are at getting players and the players they have. They have management. They have money. They have market, which always hurts the Jazz. And then how good they are at drafting. And my wife wants me to get off my podcast now.
That's fantastic. Okay, then.
So the Heat do really well in management, and they do really well in market. People love playing in Miami. They love moving to Miami. And so that's why I think they'll, you know, I don't have a problem with them staying up there in the top 10.
Okay.
What did I say? They're number six.
Yeah.
And then to round out their top 10, they have the Thunder at nine, and they have the Celtics at 10.
Interesting. Like I said, the Spurs and Miami might be the only two teams I have an issue with on that top 10 just the reasons I give. I'm not sure. The rest of those teams, yeah, I could see. It's interesting, the one team that's not on that list, the Lakers.
Is. Oh, well.
They're a dumpster fire right now, and apparently nobody has confidence that they're going to be anything but a dumpster fire for the next few years.
They rank really high with money. They rank really high with market. They rank really low with management and players.
Not a surprise, either one of those. Management,
so they're
management
number
26. Management in specific. They're not. No, Mitch Kupchak is. They've got a long ways to go.
I think they'll improve on players when Kobe retires.
Oh, I do too.
So do I.
They revisit it in this next year, they'll go up.
Yeah.
Who do you think the number 30 team is?
Minnesota?
No way.
No way.
I know, I'm kidding. I was throwing a
Players
name out.
In draft.
I was totally joking. It was
right for real. Who do you think will be number 30?
The Nets?
Yes.
Are they really?
The Nets. Horrible management. Horrible draft position. No players. I mean, they got Brooke Lopez, and that's about it. Yeah, it's the Nets. They're going to be paying Darren Williams $40 million. Yeah, they're a mess.
I thought they weren't paying him. Isn't he going to Dallas? Oh, wait.
Yeah, they had to buy him out. So
I know. I'm just
they
kidding.
Still had to pay him all that money.
The ghosts of Darren Williams passed. All right.
Yep.
So that rounds out our topics for this week. I have a topic I want to talk about, but we're going to push it off till next week because I still think it would be a wonderful topic to go over. So, because you're on a time limit.
I am.
So
I got to go, but I thought this was good.
Yes.
It'll be a little shorter than our usual.
Yes.
People can let us know what they think of our power forwards, and we will do our top five centers next week. And then we'll do this really awesome topic that Alan has in his pocket.
Yes, indeed. Folks, you can find us at Jedi and Germs on Twitter, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz on Facebook. You can reach each one of us on Twitter. Feel free to holler at us. Germs Guy, Jedi Zog, and Torn by Devin. Let us know what you think of your... whether you agree with our top five and our top 10 power forwards of this week, and if we left any names off, and tell us where they rank for you. Thanks for joining us. We hope to hear from you all, and we'll talk to you again next week. John, take us out.
You have just been listening to Dumpster Fire and Germs on the Jazz.
Excellent.